listen to the radio, listen to...
Yeah, I love voice.
This was...
حنجرة ذهبية.
إيه؟ في عربي في الراديو هين بالسيارة في شيكاغو؟
صوت إلى الزمن الجميل، زمان العمالقة والفن الحق.
ألو؟
أيوة الحكي يا مرا، بقولوا عربي بالراديو، بيحكوا عربي.
مين هذول اللي بيحكوا عربي؟
هون بالراديو بيحكوا عربي على يا هلا، بقولوا اسمهم يا هلا وهون في شيكاغو.
أنت وين هلكيت؟
أنا بالسيارة مروح من الشغل في مشتقن أفينيو جنب الميلينيون بارك هذا، بالسيارة وما بفتح على الراديو إلا بسمعهم بيحكوا عربي، اسمهم يا هلا من 1450 من شيكاغو.
يا حاج من وين بده يجي الراديو العربي؟ في أمريكا وفي شيكاغو وعلى الأي أم ومن السيارة كمان؟ والله زودتها.
إيش يعني بتقول إني خرفانات؟ والله يا هلا 1450 من شيكاغو وعلى الأي أم، هيني بسمعهم بالسيارة ومش مصدقتيني، خذي اسمعي.
يا هلا بالضيف ضيف الله أحسب الروح، أي والله يا هلا بالضيف ضيف الله أحسب الروح، أي والله ما نرضى تروح من عنا، ما نرضى تروح، لا والله ما نرضى تروح، لا والله. ما نرضى تروح، لا والله ما نرضى تروح، لا والله.
Now you are listening to Talk of the Town, Talk of the Town with Ray Hanania. Talk of the Town brought to you by Life Run Medical Alert Systems.
And good afternoon and welcome to Talk of the Town Radio. I'm Ray Hanania here at YahalaVoice.com Radio and WCEV 1450 AM Radio Broadcasting throughout Chicagoland. It's Friday, October 17. Our producer is Khalid. And if you want to share your opinion, we want to hear it. Our telephone call-in line is 708-321-1313, extension 1. Talk of the Town is brought to you by Life Run Medical Alert Systems, the best emergency system for seniors and people in healthcare need available today. Their number is 1-800-421-3366. We're broadcast live every Friday at 4 p.m. and also rebroadcast on Mondays at 11 a.m. on YahalaVoice.com. You can also go to our website, thearabdailynews.com, to get information on the show, the guests, and also to download and listen to podcasts of current and past shows. You can also download the podcast of our show from iTunes. Make sure to friend us all, Yahala Voice, Radio Chicagoland, the Arab Daily News, everybody, and including our guests, and show them some love and support. This week we're going to be talking about several things. Later on in the show, November is Arab American Heritage Month. I don't need Mayor Emanuel to validate whether I'm Arab or not, so I don't care whether he's dumped us and he doesn't support us anymore. We're going to just celebrate our own Arab heritage in November without him. And to be honest, I think I'm going to be more comfortable if he has nothing to do with it. We're also going to be taking calls about trick-or-treat and Halloween. Do you celebrate Halloween? Are you upset about it? Do you keep your kids inside? Let's talk about it, see why some do, some don't. And there's an election coming up, November 4th. How are you voting? Who are you voting for governor? And do you even vote? Do you even feel like there's a purpose? Some of the polls in Chicago show, some of the surveys show that a lot of Arabs don't even bother to vote because they feel like there's nothing that they can do. Right now, though, I want to welcome our first guest. His name is Rod Gerard, and he serves as the American Friends Services Committee's Policy Impact Coordinator at the Office of Public Policy and Advocacy in Washington, D.C. Previously, he's been in communications for a long time. He's a writer. I've briefly known him. I never really got a chance to meet him, but I've read so much about him. Great guy. He was born in Baghdad to an Iraqi mother and a Palestinian father. He grew up in Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Iraq, And he has his bachelor's degree in architecture from the University of Baghdad and master's degree in architecture with a specialty in post-war reconstruction in Iraq. Rod, you got a great resume there. Why didn't you go into architecture and become a billionaire instead of becoming an activist in the American Arab community?
Well, the short answer is that U.S. bombs started falling on my neighborhood in Baghdad, and I had to stop doing architecture and start doing political work, unfortunately. So you know, it wasn't really a switch of career by choice.
Right.
It was more of a, you know, direct consequence to war.
And when we hear that, it's really tragic. I mean, you know, here in the United States, we take a lot of things for granted, I think. Well, there's a comfort for us. You know, they may not like us, and most of us they're not trying to put in jail, although they are arresting and putting some of us in jail. But for the most part, we have an easy life. But when you say your life was disrupted when bombs were falling around you, that's amazing. What was that like?
It's ugly, and I think the vast majority of Americans have never experienced war. We haven't had war here at home in generations, and you know, only Americans who fought in foreign wars, U.S. vets, or those who lived abroad, maybe have had some encounters with war. But war is a very extremely ugly thing. It's very ugly and scary. And, you know, you can never get over it once you experience it. And for me, I always think of war as this horrible thing. I hate it, and I hate thinking about it. But unfortunately, here in Washington, D.C., where I live now, war is usually our preferred policy option.
Right.
It's talked about as, you know...
Yeah, we take it for granted, don't we? We take it for granted.
Yeah,
like, yeah, let's go to war like we're starting a game. Let's go play a game.
It's like a very easy
video
game. Policy option we should always have on the table. It's the first thing that we reach out to from our toolbox. Unfortunately, the vast majority of Americans don't really realize how terrifying and devastating war is. And that's why we keep on getting into these wars and wars and wars and wars. You know, Ray, something that I discovered after I immigrated to the U.S. is that I had so much in common with U.S. vets, U.S. vets who fought in Iraq, because both of us saw the reality on the ground.
Right.
And I started going on speaking events around the U.S. With U.S. vets to speak about the realities of war. You know, war doesn't bring love and democracy and freedom to people.
And
war brings death and destruction and pain
and
post-traumatic stress disorder and bad things, you know?
And doesn't war kind of, you know, really numb us to make us feel like it's a justification to kill other people? I mean, Americans, I think, basically are good people, but they've been in an Israeli headlock, so they can't see Arabs and Muslims, for example, or even Christian Arabs. They don't even recognize us. They can't see us for the human beings that we are. They don't see us as having suffered like you did at the end, you know, at the receiving end of a war. And I always struggle with how do we talk to Americans to get them to understand that Rod Gerard or Ray Hanania or any of the people in our community are no different than they are. You don't want war, right? I don't want war.
Listen, I agree with you that now it seems that it's our turn. It's the turn of Arab Americans,
yes. Yes.
And sometimes Muslim Americans at large, to be the latest minority that is paying a price in this country. You know, before Arabs and Muslims were targeted, there is a long list of minorities who were targeted in the past, you know, dehumanized, and you know, if you look at the history of how you know, Asian Americans were treated, or before that, African Americans were treated, or other minorities in the country. But more importantly, actually, I want to add to what you said. So this is one This is one reason for why wars happen and why discrimination against Arab and Muslim Americans in the U.S. take place, because there is this, you know, ignorance and hatred and xenophobia and Islamophobia. But in addition to that, what worries me even more is the good people, people who we like, people who like, you know, diversity, people who are not xenophobic, who still fall for justifications of wars because of humanitarian reasons. So those who want now to go bomb Iraq,
right,
because they think that is good for the Iraqis, because that would save some baby trapped on top of a mountain, or will rescue a woman who is oppressed by extremists, or will help gays and lesbians have a better future. And that actually is even more painful to me, to think of war as this romantic tool that would save babies and liberate minorities and women. I think that is more painful to me than those who want to go to war because they hate Arabs and Muslims and want to kill them. Because at least for those, you know, there is a way to like, you know, deal with the demonization and show how bad it is. But for the good people who are willing to buy arguments of war, because they think war can be a humanitarian tool, I don't really have an answer, and that makes me feel really bad.
I mean, it is tough. I mean, as an American Arab, isn't it? I mean, look at all the challenges we have. On the one hand, if strip away all the things that have happened since 1948, the international conflicts, trying to get an American to understand the truth about Palestine is almost impossible in a broad, you know, policy way. Individually, it's amazing how Americans, when they hear us, they go, yeah, that's terrible. I can't believe the Israelis are doing that. You know, that's wrong. They can't take your homes. They can't kill your people, blah, blah, blah. But then it doesn't materialize into a policy statement. And then on top of all that, you and I and all the other American Arabs, we have the difficulties that Americans have dealing with the ramifications of the conflict, or things that are related, like September 11th, the terrorist attacks, the right-wing fanatics that are rising in Israel and in our country here in the United States. I mean, it's almost insurmountable. What do we do? I mean, what do you see us doing as American Arabs to really make a difference? How do we make a difference?
First of all, let me say, I agree with your assessment of how mainstream America hasn't historically, mainstream America is not pro-Arab or Palestinian, and usually there is an inherited bias against Arabs and ignorance, you know,
right,
regarding Arabs. I mean, for example, like the most basic thing that I always talk about, the fact that almost, you know, half of Arab Americans are not Muslim, and the fact that Americans use the terms Arab and Muslim interchangeably,
right,
it's so wrong, because the half of Arabs are not Muslim in the United States, and two-thirds of Muslims are not Arabs. You know, two-thirds of Muslims are African Americans and South Asians. So using the two terms interchangeably, I mean, just like on that level, or understanding the roots of Arab Americans and Muslims Americans, you know, like how far they go, how far back they go. So, I mean, like, just like basic information like that. So I agree that there is some ignorance and bias against Arabs, but at the same time, it is changing. I mean, we saw during the latest Israeli attack on Gaza, it was the first time in history that there was some demographic in the United States who did not take a pro-Israeli, a blind pro-Israeli stand. And that was the demographic of, you know, the younger Americans, 18 to 29-year-olds. The majority of them, more than 50% of them, thought that the Israeli attack was not justified.
Right.
And less than 30 or 20% so that it was justified. These numbers are mind-boggling when you think about the rest of the populations that we have. The older people are, the more biased against the Muslims. And I think the fact that younger generations have more access to information, to more online and offline tools, and a different way of understanding equality among humans, and more importantly, the fact that they know more Arabs personally. Now, you know, on campuses, there is more of a chance that, some white U.S. Kid who comes, you know, from the Midwest will have an Arab-American classmate than the chance that they would have had it 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And the fact that they can identify, like, oh, wait a second, an Arab-American is not this monster who's coming here to, you know, declare the, make a caliphate in the U.S., but rather, an Arab-American is my friend, Raed, or Rai, or Ahmed, or Isa, and just having this personalization and personal connections is making a huge impact. So I'm actually optimistic that the image of Arab Americans might enhance in the future. Now, when you look at the numbers so far, it's actually really bad, and every year is worse than the year before. But I have some hope that with the new generation, the younger generation, you know, in a few decades, we will actually have some movement towards better understanding of Arab Americans and Arabs in general.
That's a little discouraging. I'll tell you, 40 years ago, I was a young guy, Ibrahim Abulughad, you know, right after I left service during the Vietnam War, I got involved with the American Arab community. Ibrahim Abulughad was a guy that worked with me. He was a great leader. He worked with Edward Said, and you know, it was a different time, and they had a different approach. And I remember during the Vietnam War that the Americans were very pro-war up until TV started showing images of dead babies. And I think that's what happened during the Gaza War. Americans for the first time started to see, despite the opposition from the mainstream American media, which tried to suppress it, I think, the majority of them, Americans started to see images of dead babies, little kids getting killed by Israelis in Gaza. That's just, dead babies, that's a war crime. There's no way to even justify it. It was like there was no place to go with it, no excuses, nothing. So I think that did help a little bit. And you're right, the internet gives the younger generation an opportunity to escape the biases of the mainstream media, to get information for themselves and see the truth. Listening to people like you and others, you know, you're a reasoned person. You are not a fanatic. You don't come across like a crazy person. You come across like a normal, good person. And it contradicts what their stereotypes inside have been, you know, beat into their brain about who we are. We're talking with Rod Gerard. He's serves with the American Friends Services Committee's Policy Impact Coordinator. He's done a lot of things in the American Arab community. A young guy, kind of the younger generation. It's good to see you out there. You're very articulate, Rod. And I'm, you know, of course, I'm getting older. 40 years ago, I might have, you know, had a different view. Today, I'm a little pessimistic because I see the community fighting with itself too much. It's too easy for us to beat up on each other than it is to fight the real problems, you know, with Israel, with the right-wing, you know, fanatics in this country, you know, or the, you know, the extremism from the Israeli right. It seems like it's easier for our community to fight. Are we doing a good enough job? How much of it is our responsibility and our fault? Do we assume any of the blame? And what do we shoulder as an Arab American community in terms of changing things? Are we doing enough?
The short answer is no. I mean, I think, you know, we all understand and realize the level of attack on the Arab American community and the Muslim American communities as well. But I don't think that justifies the fragmentation that the community is going through now, and the lack of leadership, or at least the lack of some sort of unity or unified agenda for the community. Let me give you a couple of examples about how communities can actually work hard and get their messages across. So in Palestine, which is, we're not talking about Arab Americans now, we're talking about Arab communities abroad.
Right.
Palestinians have been under an attack that is a million times worse than what Arab Americans are dealing with now. Palestinians have lost their homes, they have lost their livelihood, they are treated like second-class humans, they're being murdered. But during the attack on Gaza and on the rest of the Palestinian territory earlier this year, we saw an amazing experience, amazing example of how communities can fight back by being organized, by tweeting out. Every tweet that we received here in the U.S. made a difference.
Right.
Every Facebook post made a difference. And there was enough consciousness among Palestinians to try this message, bring it home, push it in English, try to show the world where they're living on a daily basis. Now, we're just a thousand miles away in Iraq. In Iraq, the level of devastation that Iraqis have been living for the last two decades is really crazy, especially in the last 13 years. And the same way that there are babies that are being killed in Gaza or were being killed, there are babies who are being killed in Iraq as well.
You're right.
Most of them by U.S. weapons
and
by U.S.-funded militias or even the Iraqi forces who are being equipped by the U.S. Unfortunately, Iraq is so fragmented, and all the communities are fragmented, and the sectarian and religious divisions within the country have led to so much devastation inside the community that we don't hear back. There is no organization. So at the same time that you see a very savvy media presence for Palestinians online and offline, you can't really feel that for Iraqis. And therefore, there is no outcry here in the U.S.
Right.
about what our weapons are doing to Iraqis and how they're killing their children and destroying their livelihood. So I'm saying, just look at these two different examples that are in the same neighborhood there. We can reflect the same things here in the U.S.
Yeah,
in the same way that our communities here are so divided with the lack of any leadership. It hurts me. I took my kid who's a year and a half now. His name is Aziz. So my wife and I took him, we wanted to go to an Arab festival a couple of weeks ago here in D.C. So my friends say we're going to the Arab festival, I look it up online, and we try for an hour and a half to go to the Arab festival. I get there, my friends are not at that festival. So I call them, and they're like, oh, we're at the other Arab festival. And they said, for God's sake, is there any other community that has two festivals on the same day?
And
we have one festival in a church.
And no communication.
In some park.
And no networking in the community. We don't
Isn't
have
that
a communication.
Crazy? Just think about it on that level. We're not talking about putting a policy statement or fighting back against. We're just talking about, organizing one festival a day.
Right. No, I know. Listen.
So that we can all meet at each other,
I mean, you've raised a lot of really interesting points and making me think. The one that I think I want to just go back to for a second is the difference between the way we look at Iraq and the way we look at Palestine here as an Arab community and as Americans. And it's interesting that Palestine has, over 67, 68 years created an industry, in a sense, of activism. And Iraq, it really was only in the last 20 years. And I think if I were Iraqi, I'd feel, wow, nobody cares about when they already don't care when they kill Palestinian babies. If they don't care about Palestinian babies and they got a bigger activism group, why would Americans even care about Iraqis? And it's almost like that lack of concern, is it tied to us or is it just tied to Americans that they don't care?
No, I mean, I think what the U.S. mainstream public cares about is what they see. And the fact that there isn't really that much on our TV screens regarding Iraq. What we hear about Iraq is that there is a crazy Muslim group called ISIS.
Right.
It's a bad guy. And we have to go step in there with our good guys, with our allies, and get rid of this bad guy. And that's the story that's being told to the U.S. public. Why, on the ground in Iraq, the situation is very different. It's a very messy, bloody,
on a lot of levels,
conflict. You know, it's a conflict that can't be described in a sentence. You know, there are sectarian divisions and political divisions and economic divisions, and the fact that the U.S. is stepping in that very messy conflict to support some militias and some war criminals against other militias and other war criminals is making the situation even worse in Iraq. The fact that we are giving money, equipment, and training to Shiite and Kurdish militias to fight against Sunni militias,
which is completely
safer or happier.
Which completely goes against what we're about, unifying and bringing democracy.
Law.
Right.
So we have existing law in the U.S., domestic law, such as the Leahy Law or the Foreign Assistance Act or other very strict laws that should prohibit us from funding foreign countries or even non-state actors who are engaged in gross human rights violations. This is exactly what we're doing in Iraq and in Syria. We're funding groups who have been committing murder, torture, beheading. One of our allies in Iraq, one of the Shiite militias that is getting support by the Iraqi government and the U.S. government, beheaded some of the militants that they captured a couple of weeks ago. All of these things have been documented by Human Rights Watch, by Amnesty International. But unfortunately, this narrative of what the U.S. role is not making it back here home. And the problem with this is that, on the one hand, the Arab American community is completely fragmented. We can't even fight for our own rights here at home when we go to an airport, let alone advocate for the rights of Arab Americans, Arabs who are not Americans, who are living thousands of miles away. So there isn't really a lobby, an Arab lobby here at home to advocate for Arabs.
Right, and we don't have that.
There are no one else is interested, actually, in reaching out to Iraqis and seeing what's going on there. So there's this ongoing meat grinder going on in Iraq without anyone even noticing. It's even more painful, you know. We all cried and we all lived the pain of every single Palestinian who was killed in the Israeli attack earlier this year. Every single one of those 2,000 Palestinians who were killed, you know. Everyone, we heard them, we knew their names. You know, a good month in Iraq has more than 2,000 people killed.
Right.
A good month.
And it's almost nobody... Nobody
you don't even know that they
yeah,
were.
That's,
you don't know their name.
You've depressed
you
me, Rod.
Story, you know?
You've depressed me even more than I am. You know what's so difficult, you know, being American Arab is, and you know, listen, I think people like you have courage. It's so much easier. There are a lot of people in our community that do this, American Arabs. It's so much easier to assimilate and get away from our community, become successful businessmen, become professionals, and just say, what are we going to do? We can do nothing. And they do absolutely nothing. You know, as you know, my wife is Jewish, and I talk with her a lot. She was very pro-Israel when we were married. But after I brought her to see the Palestinians so she could see for herself what was happening, her whole attitude changed. And yet our own people, we see it every day, and our reaction sometimes is the majority of us, we just hide from it. And then activists like yourself, you don't get the support that you really should get and you need to be successful or more successful. I think you do a great job. I'm sorry we never got a chance to meet. I kind of retired from ADC after working with him for 25 years. I got dragged back into the national level in the middle of, I didn't even know what was going on. It was like, oh my gosh, I got to get out of here. It was like too much. And I'm still like dealing with this, hate industry that a small segment that's still out there. And I think about all the energy that's put into that. And it makes me feel bad that we can't all just, you know, find a way to come together, work together, because we all really, we share the same goals. Even people I disagree with, when it really comes down to it, we all share the same goals of freeing Palestine, freeing the Arabs, ending the violence and the oppression in Iraq. We didn't even get a chance to talk about Syria, you know, and all the things happening over there. Now, I know you're limited for time this evening, and I want to tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm actually coming to Chicago in a couple of weeks, so it would be good to meet you for a cup of coffee.
I would love to. I would love to, as long as it doesn't create more enemies for you, just to have a picture with Ray Hanania, okay? Rod, listen, we really – is there a place where listeners can go? Do you have a blog? Do you write someplace?
Yeah, I'm actually one of the earlier bloggers in the Middle East.
I remember.
I started blogging in 2002. But I think the younger kids nowadays, they don't even know what a blog is, you know.
Right, yeah, they've gone beyond that. Blogging is old man stuff now, right?
Yeah, you know, exactly.
CD blogged. Right.
So I migrated my...
Oh, my gosh. Time is going
by. 140 characters at a time, and I'm active on Twitter and on Facebook. So my handle on Twitter is Raed Jarrar. That's RAEDJARRAR.
All right, good.
And people can find me on Facebook as well. If, you know,
good. We'll follow you there, Raed. We really appreciate you taking the time to join us. I enjoyed the conversation. I hope, you know, maybe something's happening sometime if, you know, you want to try to publicize it in Chicago. We'd love to have you back on again. And obviously, if you do come to Chicago, please reach out. Let's get together, and maybe we can even have you in the studio, and you can sit in with us and talk to the community and just, expand the feeling of, frustration when you find out how more divided we are in Chicago.
Maybe next time I can come to the studio and we can talk.
That would be great.
My trip to Palestine, you know, my work on Iraq and Syria, and all of the recent developments. So I look forward to that.
We would love it. Thank you so much, Rod.
Thanks a lot.
No problem. I appreciate it. That was Rod Jarrar. He's with the American Friends Services Committee, and he does a lot. Like he said, he started blogging back in 2002. Did a lot of writing. Great guy. Reasoned, smart. He's kind of the young generation of the Arab community. I'm Ray Hanania here at Talk of the Town, YahalaVoice.com, WCEV 1450 AM radio. We're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll open up the phone lines at 708-321-1313, extension 1, to talk with callers about Halloween, Arab Heritage Month, what are you doing, and the elections. Are you going to vote? So give us a call, join in the conversation, let us know what you think about some of those topics or anything else, something going on you want to promote, call us, let us know. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back right after these messages.
Arab voices heard with Yahala Voice.
Home Life Furniture. آخر صيحات الأثاث وكل ما تحتاجه من مفروشات. Home Life Furniture. الأمانة، الأخوة والدقة في المواعيد.
No credit needed to finance. Everyone is approved at Home Life Furniture, 13449 South Cicero Avenue in Crestwood, Illinois, 708-631-3627. Mention Yahala Voice and your delivery is free. Get $200 off when you spend $1,500.
You have a medical alert device. When you press the button for help, can you talk through your pendant? With many companies, you still have to talk through the base unit, and that's not much help in an emergency. The answer, LifeRun Medical Alert Systems. Simply press the button and talk to a live operator right through the pendant. If your device can't do that, upgrade to LifeRun today. The system is free, the shipping is free, and the monitoring fee is less than a dollar a day. Call LifeRun now at 1-800-421-3366 or order online at LifeRun.com.
Man, and Carry Chrysler Jeep Dodge's 72-hour sale starts now. $30 million in inventory, $5 million in discounts, and $25 million to lend will be available for this public sale at Man Carry's Chrysler Jeep Dodge at Oak Lawn. Now through Monday, get $12,000 off MSRP. Get 0% for 72 months, plus a $4,500 rebate. 800 factory cars are on display. Brand new Jeep Cherokees, Grand Cherokees, minivans, Ram trucks, and more. $5 million in discounts will be made available on Man Carry's $30 million of new car inventory. Stop what you're doing right now and get to Man Carry's in Oak Lawn. $12,000 off MSRP. 0% for 72 months, plus $4,500 in rebates. $30 million in inventory. And bank reps on site with $25 million to lend. You will drive today. Hurry. This public sale will absolutely end Monday. Sale hours extended till midnight at Man Carry Chrysler Jeep Dodge on 95th Street, Oak Lawn. On select models, $1,389 per thousand with zero down with approved credit plus tax, title, license, and doc fee.
For years, the hearts of good people have broken for the suffering of the Syrians. More than 6 million displaced, nearly 3 million refugees, 80% are women. Children and elderly have faced growing hunger and deprivation. Syrians need food today. Your charity can help Syrians in need. Feed a Syrian family by donating a $50 food basket through Zakat Foundation of America at zakat.org or by calling 1-888-ZAKAT-US. Zakat Foundation of America, the leader in empowering lives through Zakat.
منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم. أفضل المنتجات الغذائية نوفرها لموائدكم. متطلبات المطبخ العربي نقدمها لكم من خلال ماركاتنا السلطان، كرافت، نستلي، بوك، ريفل بيكان، دانا. ستجدونها في كافة المحلات والبقاليات. للمزيد من المعلومات زوروا موقعنا زياد.com. منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم.
Listen to the radio. Listen to
يا هلا فويس.
And welcome back to Talk of the Town Radio. I'm Ray Hanania. I'm going to bring on the guy that I wish I was. Now, I'm older now, but this guy is, he's like Ray Hanania back in the 70s and 80s, which was the best time of my life. And I know he's going through the same thing, but I think he's going to be more successful. He's done a great job. Rush Darwish. Rush has a show on Wednesdays at 4:30, I think it starts, right? 4:30 or 4 o'clock? 4:30. And you got to listen to his show on Wednesday because I'm telling you, he really is tuned in to the community better than anybody I've seen. Rush, thank you for calling in today.
Ray, an unbelievable, unbelievable pleasure to be on your show today. You know that, don't you?
Well, listen, I know you're a good guy, and you're the kind of, I think you're an American that ran into an Arab like neutrons in the, at the, what's that place where they create atomic stuff? And you guys came together and created the ultimate American Arab. We could do a show, the $6 million man.
You're being generous. I'm just a whitewashed Arab, but thank you.
No, you're a smart guy. That's why I love listening. It makes me feel good that there's somebody like you out there because it's so hard in our community. And I don't blame our community. We are oppressed. We're picked on. We're beaten up. You know, as soon as people find out we're Arab, they don't care what we're, you know, what cause, right or wrong or whatever. Some, they just make judgments about us. And yet, in spite of all that, a guy like you, you got a great attitude. You haven't, you know, soured. You're still fighting the good fight. And I hope, I don't know how you do it, honestly.
It's a very simple formula, Ray. A lot of people who want to help and want to contribute, they set enormous expectations when they walk in and say, I want to help, I want to contribute, I want to volunteer,
right.
I want to make a difference. People want to stand on top of the pedestal. For me, I just do the best I can, and if I can make a difference, great. if I could influence one person to look at who we are as a community, as Arab Americans, and what we really stand for, to me, one person is a great success. And I think that's what keeps me going, is that I don't look at it as, if I'm going to get involved in this, if I'm going to contribute, that means, you know, I have to have thousands of people. I don't put that pressure on myself. Just do the best you can. Take it one person at a time, one day at a time. And you know what? Whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, and I don't want to leave out Naperville Bob, because he's a great guy too. He's on there.
No, you can leave him out. It's okay. No. You know. Let me tell you about this.
He's
Bob
a good guy.
You know, Bob the other day, you know, on the radio show, just because I made one little mistake. We had a doctor on. We were talking about diabetes, and the doctor said you have a 5 in 10 chance, and I said, oh, you have a 5 out of 10 chance. So I made that little mistake, and Bob took it and ran with it. Let me tell you something. Don't stroke that guy. That guy's head is already as big as a big
tundra.
He is the tundra, you know, of tundras. And if I were you, I would not give that guy any hype, because his ego is beyond inflated.
Now, you're talking to a baby boomer, okay, a guy like me, and I'm seeing Bud Abbott and Lou Costello in real life on radio when I talk about the two of you guys. So I think it's just hilarious, and I think you really are effective. But even more serious, though, I'll tell you what. You organized a group of Palestinians to run in the marathon. Now, people have been advocating, trying to do that for years. The marathon has been going on how many years? 30 years? 26 years?
Yeah, about a little bit over 30 years.
Yes.
I got to tell you.
I was there when it started.
It was a tremendous sight. We started Team Palestine for PCRF.
Yes.
Started the group 5 years ago. 11 of us ran the marathon. This year, thank God, close to 50 runners participated on behalf of Team Palestine. Not only that, Ray, the Palestinian flag was carried for 26 miles.
I was moved.
Mile 26.
I was moved by the videos, just the short snippets that I saw of you guys running with the Palestinian flag. And listen, I was at the press conference when it was announced at City Hall when they launched the marathon. I was there with Mayor Byrne and the Bank of America, and I think it was a baking company at the time. I can't even think of who it was.
LaSalle Banks.
Yeah, it was LaSalle Bank. But even before them, it was like the people that make the Sunday, what do they call those? I'm looking at Khaled, the Crescents or something. Because I know when I need food information, I turn to Khaled. He's in... I can't remember the company, but listen, the point is that back then we talked about how do we get involved? How do we assert ourselves? You did it. 5 years ago you started, and these videos were moving to watch people run, you know, among how many, 50,000 people, and to have a group of Palestinians. I'm thinking, wow, if you can have 30 Palestinians there, why don't we have 3,000? Do you know what I mean?
No,
it makes
I'm
it
with
possible.
You.
It makes it possible.
Yeah. Well, a lot of things happen with just a 26-mile run. Just to wave the flag, people get to see Palestine. And more importantly, we raise thousands of dollars for the Palestine Children's Relief Fund. So everybody
gets that's the other thing you did.
From our involvement in the Chicago Marathon.
You did it for a good cause. You did it for a good cause. Now, I would love to run, but I'm getting up there in age. And you should see me struggle on the treadmill.
Don't say that, Ray.
You should see me.
You're running. You can do it. No,
there's
you can do it.
There's eye candy.
How many people? Oh.
There's eye candy in
that.
Front of me at the health club. That can keep me going for an hour, but I don't know. On the street, you know, running.
Let me tell you, if you think there's eye candy at the health club, then you run the Chicago Marathon, you're going to find yourself very inspired.
Listen, what other things are you doing? You're doing a lot of stuff. The marathon is probably the most impressive thing I've seen in the community in a long time, but you're doing a lot of other stuff.
Well, we've got the marathon, you know, which I'm very blessed to be a part of with Team Palestine, and, of course, the race we put together called Run for Peace, which just happened several weeks ago. I'll tell you, Ray, over 1,000 people registered, 1,000 Arabs, Muslims across the Chicagoland area. They walked, they ran. A lot of the runners, first-time runners who've never ran 3 miles in their lives, well, guess what? They did it at Run for Peace this September at Moraine Valley Community College. It really is a beautiful sight to see people who have a goal, and they go out and they run. It's really powerful.
Is that done every year?
We're very blessed with that. This was the third year that we did it.
Wow.
The first year, and I'm always big on numbers, the first year we had about 400 people registered. And here we are, year three. And yes, over 1,000 people registered. It was Mayor Bennett, Mayor Gerald Bennett, Palos Hills Mayor,
who
opened up the ceremony welcoming everybody. It was also Mayor Bennett and the city of Palos Hills that allowed us to run on the streets of Palos Hills this year. They blocked off the roads for us.
He's a good
guy. So once again, you know, we have situations where, and we know this, Ray, we can go on and on and talk about the stories where we are oppressed, how, you know, people turn their backs on us. But here's a situation where the city of Palos Hills, the easy thing would have been to say,
no,
not interested, not our cup of tea, thank you. But you know what? They stepped up. The police force was out in droves. Volunteers, over 100 volunteers came out for this. Once again, it's all about bringing the community together in some way, shape, or form. And yes, I guess nobody ever thought that running would do this, but running and walking, putting a little health and wellness into this, injecting that, has proved to be very successful.
I think you've figured out how to take a great idea and assimilate it into American society without losing our Arab-Palestinian identity or the idea and making the statement that we're as American as everybody else. I mean, why shouldn't we be doing that kind of stuff? Why shouldn't a town allow us to support us?
Right.
Mayor Bennett is a good guy, and I'll tell you just a quick story. Back in the 90s, when Miriam Zayed, we ran her for the District 230 school board. Back then, District 230 has three high schools, biggest school district of Arab community, you know, in the Midwest, and not 10% of the students, 600 students, were Muslim and Arab, half Christian, half Muslim, yet 90% of the kids being expelled from the three schools were Arab. We were 10% of the population, but 90% of the problem. So we tried to change that. Mayor Bennett was the only guy that stood up with us back then to say that, you know, they tried to cite Miriam Zayed to give her tickets for putting up her campaign signs. But it was Mayor Bennett who stood up and said, no, I'm going to, these tickets are illegal. Why are you singling her out? You know, I mean, so it was good. I mean, he was a good guy. And I'm not surprised that he would stand up and help you. I think that's a phenomenal thing. But we need so many more Mayor Bennetts, don't we?
There's no doubt about that, because we have, in one sense, Mayor Bennett, longtime mayor of Palos Hills, who has been overall, again, of course, some people can be critical, but overall, I would say outstanding with reaching
great
out to the Arab American community. Unlike Mayor Rahm Emanuel, who totally dismantled the Arab group that was
Arab Advisory Council, Arabesque,
the
no
advisory
support.
Council, he, I mean, basically,
he gutted us.
Arab, he brought his axe and he just gutted it out.
Yes, he did.
Making a statement right from the get-go where he stood when it came to the Arab community.
Yes.
Which leads to my next thing, Ray. And this is the next project that I'm a part of. I'm extremely proud of this, because this is the number one thing that we need in the Arab community, led by the honorary Judge Williams Haddad, who just retired.
Yes, Bill is a great guy.
He founded the Middle Eastern, it's called the American Middle Eastern Voters Alliance, political action community. It's a PAC group.
Yes, he did. He's a good guy, too.
Very blessed to be part of this group. We actually we just started the group. It's only about 3 weeks old. Now, they did try, I should make mention, they did try and start the group about 8-9 years back. It kind of didn't, the wheels didn't turn exactly, but the judge brought everybody back in, and just recently we launched our Facebook page, and also recently we just endorsed our first two candidates in the history of the PAC. We're going to be endorsing Pat Quinn, governor of Illinois, and Judy Parr Topinka, the first state comptroller. So we have now focused on these two candidates. Obviously, Ray, we love to endorse more candidates.
Yeah,
but,
well,
we had to make a statement and get something out there right from the get-go.
You can't do everything from the get-go. You got to start small and have an impact, because you know the community will judge you if you do too much and it doesn't show results. They will say you're a failure. But if you just take enough and show that you had an impact, they're going to follow, and I think they will. Keep in mind, there's a young lady, and now this election isn't until February. Her name is Samantha Webb. She's a Haddad and probably a distant relative of Bill Haddad, but she's running for alderman of the 10th Ward in Chicago. Maybe sometime in the next few weeks, I'm going to have her on the show, but you should meet with her, because I told her she needs to meet with the younger generation of the American Arab community. And that's you. You are it, Rush. You are the younger generation. You're the guy. That's it. There's nobody else out there. At least in Chicago.
Ray, I appreciate it. I hope there is more, because
Naperville Bob, you and Naperville Bob.
Ain't nothing
Lou Costello.
About Bob. Let's all take it easy.
Bud Abbott and Lou
Let's
Costello.
Let's all take it easy. The Silver Fox ain't that young. I'm just saying. But I got to tell you, Ray, here's
yes,
the, me and my brother, we were talking about this last night, is that one of the biggest problems we face in the Arab community, and I think this is the God honest truth, when there is somebody that we would deem as a successful Arab American or American Arab, whether it's via politics, business, but they are just successful.
Yes.
The difference between the Arab community and the Jewish community, on the Jewish community, when somebody is successful, people gravitate towards that person.
Yes.
They want to be a part of it. They want to help that person grow, because they know that person will hire them and, you know, be able to build a community, and they believe in that person. And that is the biggest problem we have in the Arab community, is that when somebody is successful, somebody has the ability to make change, what ends up happening is the people around them, they also want to be chiefs.
Yes.
They don't want to help that person. And again, I'm not saying I have that problem, but I'm saying it is one of the problems that we have in the Arab communities, that when we have a couple of people who are trying to make things happen, unfortunately, there are too many people who try and bring those people down. And it's a real shame. It really is.
There's a parable.
That's why, at least on my end, what was that?
No, I was going to say there's a parable that I would share with you sometime when we have more time, about the devil giving the tour of hell, and how the Jews are boiling in a vat of boiling oil, but he has his disciples pushing them down. And then in the next one, it's Americans boiling in the boiling oil, and he has his disciples on the edge pushing them down, back to keep them down. And they get to the vat with the Arabs. And the Arabs are in the boiling oil, but they're no disciples. And the guy looks at the devil and says, "Ha, see, we must be different." And he goes, "Yeah, I don't need to waste my disciples to push the Arabs down. The Arabs underneath pull them down so nobody gets out." So it's a tragedy, isn't it? It's horrible. Rush, listen.
It is sad but true.
You and I could talk for like hours, and I really mean it. Obviously, I joke around a little bit, but it's good to see somebody like you in the community doing what you're doing. And I just wish more people would support you, because, I saw people like you back in the 70s doing stuff, and, 40 years goes by fast. And when nothing changes except the faces around the table, that can be very depressing. You're changing that. And it's a tough thing. I know what you're up against. And the fact that you won't stop is admirable. I admire that. And I just wish you the best luck.
I appreciate it. You know, I'm following your footsteps. I know where you have been and all the great things that you've accomplished. And I just think we need to continue that no matter what. So I appreciate it, but I will just say, and I'm not just, if this was a marathon, Ray, if right now everything that I'm trying to accomplish is a marathon, I just passed mile one, so we have a long way to go.
Right, we're just starting. Rush Darwish, your show is on Wednesdays at 4:30, correct? Right,
absolutely.
Right,
you know,
here at Yahala Voice.
You have to understand, let me just tell you, when my show is on, Ray, I don't know how it is by you, but when my show is on, it is out when I walk in the office. They have a tray of food. They have fabulous sweets, the whole line of baklava.
Debka
Nafa,
reception.
The whole thing. I don't know what you got going on with you, but when I'm there, when we do Rise Up,
I get security guards.
Unbelievable spread.
I get security guards, and Khaled is, FBI agents. I got drones flying over the studio now that are interfering with the reception of the show here, trying to figure out what they can do. Rush Darwish, my buddy.
You're the best, Rick.
You're doing great. His website is riseupshow.com. You can get all the information about the show. Listen to his show, Rise Up Radio, on Wednesday at 4:30, right here at Yahala Voice and WCEV 1450. Rush, you guys take it easy. I appreciate you and Naperville Bob. He's a good guy.
He is, no doubt.
You gotta take that show on the road. Listen, take it easy. All right.
Thank you.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later. We're at the end of the show. I want to thank Khaled for, all the work that he puts in to get this show going and get it off the ground. And of course, I want to thank our sponsor, LifeRun Medical Alert Systems, the best emergency system for seniors and people in healthcare need, available today. Call 1-800-421 3366. I'm Ray Hanania. Go to my website at thearabdailynews.com. Go to yahalavoice.com and check us out on Facebook. You guys have a great week, and I'll talk to you next Friday. Bye-bye, everybody.
عم تسمع يا هلا فويس من شيكاغو.